The Gospel of Luke tells a story that can only be described as baffling, seemingly to bless squandering wealth and unethical business, that a rich man discovers that his manager is mismanaging property and funds, a serious accusation. So it is time for the annual audit. And from the very first day when the accountant arrives and sets up shop in that corner cubicle, opening up the rich man's ledger and going down the page line by line, the writing seems to be on the wall that the manager never claims his innocence. He doesn't do anything to provide a sound defense. Instead, he devises a scheme. So once he is fired, he's got some options for future employment. Because he can't imagine digging in the fields or begging in the streets. So he steals a copy of the rich man's ledger and he goes over in the shadows and finds a couple clients that owe the rich man a serious debt. And he invites them into his office. And they think he is operating under the rich man's authority. So the first client shows up. He walks quietly into the room. He didn't sleep a wink the night before because he was afraid his debt has been called due in full. And he sits down in the chair in front of the manager, visibly nervous, his hands shaking, palms sweating. He musters up enough courage to explain, "I have been working constantly, day and night, as hard as I can to pay back the 100 jugs of olive oil that I owe." But the manager interrupts him right there in mid-sentence and says, "Listen, instead of 100 jugs of olive oil, all you owe is 50. He could not believe it. Gratitude just exploded from within him. He was so thankful. But what he didn't realize is, instead of owing the rich man such a significant debt, now he owed the manager a favor, perhaps a job in the near future. Well, the next client comes in, places a written IOU on the manager's desk. He is almost in tears. He's been carrying that IOU around since the day he wrote it. It says he owes 100 containers of wheat. But before he can say anything, the manager picks it up, tears it into little pieces, throws it away, and says, "All you owe is 80. Well, he could not believe it. He was so thankful. And we can't believe it either. Because as soon as Jesus said, "Once upon a time there was a rich man," we knew what comes next. Our third grade Sunday school teacher told us, anytime a story starts like that, Jesus is telling a parable. And we know a parable is supposed to teach us something about God and faith. But this rich man doesn't condemn the manager for his devious scheme. So what does this teach us about a life of faith? It is baffling. After the parable, Jesus says, "Whoever is faithful with a little will be faithful with much. And whoever is dishonest with a little will be dishonest with much." And as we look at this manager, which one is it? Faithful or dishonest? Well, we find a clue buried there with the prophet Jeremiah. He is known as the weeping prophet, and for good reason. He is agonizing over the fact that the temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed, and the people of God have been taken to live in a foreign land in exile in Babylon. It's why he says, "My joy is gone, grief is upon me, my heart is sick. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored?" We can understand why Jeremiah is so upset, because there are situations like this one that we only have to catch a glimpse of it and we automatically know it is wrong. Like the physician who's been convicted of unethical medical practice. He has been found to be performing medical procedures that were unnecessary, but it enabled him to charge the patients more, and that these unnecessary procedures caused long-term issues in hundreds of patients. And then he was also refusing to not perform necessary procedures because they weren't beneficial to him financially. Now, we do not need an explanation to know how wrong this is. We only have to catch a glimpse of it, like Jeremiah seeing the people of God in exile. So perhaps Jesus knew that as he described the unethical behavior of this manager, the disciples would instinctively know it was wrong, that this manager was dishonest with a little. But then when he was pressured, he was dishonest with more. And in contrast, Jesus says, if we are faithful with a little, treating others in a way that forms gratitude within them, that if we are faithful with a little, we will also be faithful with much. That we should not wait until it seems that our actions really matter. It is important enough to be faithful in the little things, because it shapes what we will do with more. Now, the hard part is we don't always know what to do, even with a little. And perhaps the simplest answer is the golden rule. We're right there in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, which is extremely helpful. But if we are not careful, we can accidentally remove the golden rule from the Sermon on the Mount as if it can stand all by itself. And if we do, we lose sight of something, because the strength of the golden rule is the gratitude behind it. That it remains there in the Sermon on the Mount, tied to things like the Beatitudes, which, if I am honest, I might not always choose for myself, because it is hard to stand on the side of a poor spirit or mourning, meekness, hunger for righteousness, mercy, a pure heart, peace, or blessing those who persecute us. And if it is hard for us to choose those things for ourselves, we do not feel convicted or compelled to stand on those sides of things with others. But the gratitude that can emerge within us can shift the scales Because the golden rule is not only about what we might do, it's also about what God does. George Buttrick, that historic preacher, once told the story of two people on a ship going down in the middle of the ocean. And there's only two people left in one flotation device. And one turns to the other and says, "You take it. Just do as much for somebody else one day." That the strength of the golden rule is the gratitude beneath it. It is not a rule that's imposed on us from the outside in. Rather, it is that gratitude that wells up inside of us, that calls us to act, that we love others because God has loved us. That perhaps we can also call it the grace rule. Thankful for the grace of God we have received, so we offer it to others. Whether that grace comes in the form of forgiveness, meekness, or peace, choosing to stand on the side of those things, trying to be faithful with a little, so we might also be faithful in much. Brett Younger reminds us that it's the 30th anniversary of that iconic movie, Field of Dreams. It's a heartwarming story about a father and son reuniting after years of turmoil and tension. He says there are two types of people in this world, those who love Field of Dreams and those who have no souls. Now, we might not go that far. But I remember watching this movie 30 years ago and being drawn into its story where Ray Kinsella, an amateur farmer in Iowa trying to make ends meet, constantly pushing back at the collectors at the door where the bank is threatening to repossess his property, and always feeling this angst as he's working in the field, replaying the tension and turmoil he felt with the relationship he had with his dad, where the only thing they had in common was baseball. But it was baseball and his father chasing his dream of playing in the majors that eventually drove them apart. That he's out in the field one day and he hears a voice. And he begins by plowing down half of his cornfield to build a baseball field out in the middle of it. And then, on top of that, Shoeless Joe Jackson and all of these great baseball players from the past start showing up from the cornfield to play baseball. It is baffling. Well, then he hears a voice that tells him to go the distance. So he gets in his van and he travels across the country to find this old baseball player by the name of Archibald Moonlight Graham. That Moonlight Graham finally got his chance, called up to the majors, his chance to play in the big leagues, but it was only for one short game where he never got a turn at bat. And then management decided to send him back down to the minors. So Moonlight Graham decided to go to medical school instead. Well, Ray picks up Moonlight Graham and takes him back to play baseball at his field in the middle of his cornfield. So he has a chance to live out his dream, playing against the greats like Shoeless Joe Jackson and others. And he finally gets his chance at bat. But right after this one single moment, all of the attention goes to the sidelines because Ray's daughter, who is sitting on the top of the bleachers eating a hot dog, falls off, lands on the ground, and begins to choke. Well, Moonlight Graham walks over to the edge of the ball field, pauses for a second, but then decides to step off the field to be a doctor yet again, to prevent Ray's daughter from choking. But afterwards, because he stepped off of this magical field, he could not go back to play baseball. And Ray feels terrible. He is so sorry that here Moonlight Graham lost his dream yet again. But Moonlight Graham says it's okay. Everything is all right. But Ray insists, I mean, for anybody to get that close to a dream and to lose it, most people would consider that a tragedy. But Graham says, if I had only been a doctor for 5 minutes, that would have been a tragedy. That whether we say it out loud or not, we are always asking and answering the question, what is it that truly matters in this life? Is it making room for the peacemaker? Is it standing on the side of meekness and mercy? Being with those who are mourning, having a poor spirit, hungering for righteousness, standing with mercy, or even forgiving those who persecute us. Because when we do those things, it forms gratitude in this world, which changes us and changes others. That if we are faithful with a little, just a little, taking time to search out a forgotten friend, to write a letter of encouragement, to support a young person, to let go of a grudge, to forgive a past wound, to laugh with a stranger, to push back against prejudice, to take pleasure in beauty, to reflect on our gratitude. Leaning in to the grace rule. To love others in the ways that God has loved us. That if we are just faithful with a little, we will also be faithful with much. Amen.